verses 1 through 8. If you would, stand in reverence of God's Word. Mark chapter 16, 1 through 8. It says, "Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, of Salome, brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, 'Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?' But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was a very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said to you.' So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. A video or a song could not even come close to doing justice of that first resurrection morning, and we stand here celebrating that today. And so we're asking you for a few moments just to be in our presence. May we worship you and celebrate this glorious day, that you will be glorified through all that is said and done. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I want us to think about this morning, about these three ladies on that first Easter morning, as they made their way down to the tomb. And there's some words that come. I want us to think about four words today as we're celebrating the Lord's resurrection. And the first is early. We can understand early this morning, can we not? They came early. They came early to the tomb. And I want us to think about these women didn't arrive early in anticipation, but rather they had to take care of some unfinished business. Now, I want you to think, these are just like ladies. Because if you remember, the Scripture says that Jesus, after his crucifixion, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus came and they took the body down and they actually anointed the body themselves. But that wasn't good enough for ladies, was it? We can relate to that. They had a plan. These three ladies got together, and because of their Lord and their love for the Lord, we're going to see that, they wanted to go and anoint the body. But they had a problem. It was the Sabbath. When Jesus was crucified at sundown at Easter on Good Friday morning, the Sabbath started for the Jews at sundown Friday evening and lasted to sundown Saturday evening. You didn't do any work. There's no way that they could have took the spices there. They couldn't even have bought the spices for him. So they had a little problem. They wanted to take care of this business, but they had to wait for the law. They had to wait for the Sabbath day to be over with. So can you imagine these ladies getting together and making their plan, hatching their plan off? They had been at the crucifixion, and if you look at 1540 and 1547, these three ladies had seen Jesus crucified. They had stood afar off. They had seen where he had been placed in the tomb. So they knew where to go. It wasn't by a lot of people want to debate and say, well, they went to the wrong tomb. Boobish. We'll talk about that in a little further on. But they had prepared spices to anoint the Lord's body. And at the end of that Sabbath time, can you imagine their anticipation as they wanted to go down? Now, they weren't, Israelites didn't believe in embalming, so it wasn't like it was part of an embalming process. When they anointed the body, it was just out of love. In fact, the Jews, you know, just a short time before decay started, and so they wanted to get there just before, you know, they wanted to take care of it. I guess they thought, well, maybe the tomb's cool, we're okay. I can see them making this plan. Can you imagine? These three ladies. They knew that Nicodemus had taken care of things. They knew Joseph had, but you know that wasn't good enough. They wanted to do it. Love, if you think about it, often prompts people to do what, from a practical point of view, doesn't make sense. Love will motivate you to do a lot of things that we can say, well, you know, why would you do that? Why would you go? Why is these three ladies? You know, they had a plan. God had a master plan, by the way. When we see this, these ladies were making their plan, but God had something in store also. And I want you to know something, that ladies in this culture weren't often looked upon as, being very credible. They weren't, you know, they were looked at as almost like just a commodity. God had a different plan. He would reveal himself and his resurrection to these three ladies. You know, I was thinking, we have gotten up here this morning early, have we not? How many of you can say amen to that? That's right. I was just wondering, you know, maybe we came to this place also, and maybe we'll discover something different here today like we're going to see now. Have we come to this place? We've gotten up early this morning and come to this place for a different reason, haven't we? We've come to celebrate our Lord and what is His resurrection. Well, that's the first word, early. We can all relate to that. Maybe I'm hoping we can relate to this next word. It is that not only did they come early, but they came expecting. Look at 3 and 4. So let's go back and let's read that. 1 and 2 was, it says, "Now it came to pass when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome," which Mary the mother, everybody knows who Mary the Magdalene was. It was the one that Jesus had cast out the 7 devils. Mary the mother of Joseph, that was James, or Joseph Lesser, James the Lesser. And then Salome was the mother of James and John, the sons of thunder. That's who these three ladies were. And then it said, too, very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. So you see what? They didn't have flashlights. They didn't have any way of seeing in, so they had to wait for the sun to come up. So they're making their way to the tomb. They knew exactly where he was at. They had a plan. Next, they came expecting. Look at 3 and 4. Look what it says. And they said among themselves, I love this. You can see that love. They're not motivated. They're not thinking, who's... It's just, they're just going to take care of what the business here. They're going expecting, but they hadn't thought it through. Now, ladies and the guys, we don't want to make a comment there. They hadn't thought it through. Who's going to roll the stone away? This is a huge stone. And then all of a sudden we see here in 3, and they said among themselves, who's going to roll the stone away from the door of the tomb for us? It's a good question, ain't it? How are we going to get in and north and north? So they've not completely thought it through. They're just motivated out of love to go there. They don't realize that God's taken them there for a supreme purpose. They're just headed on their way. In fact, you can see that. What did they come expecting? They came expecting to find a body. They came to anoint a body. They had their spices they had to purchase. And they waited till after the Sabbath. So they came expecting. They were expecting to find a body. I want to ask you a question. What do you expect when you go to a graveyard? We've all made that trip. Most of us have. It's not a pleasant thing. I grew up in Morganton, off the mountain. Most people know where Morganton's at, in the little town of Oak Hill, which is north of 181. There at the Methodist Church right down below Oak Hill School, there's a gravestone there. And periodically, I don't go a whole lot, to be honest with you, because the fact of the matter is that person's gone on to be with Jesus, but I go there out of respect. I go there because on the tombstone it says James Calvin Cooper, my dad. Born 1942 or 43 and died 1993. That's what it says on the gravestone. And when I go there to pay my respects, and often when I'm there, as I walk up to that place, I'm actually standing in front of the grave, that gravestone, I shed some tears. Why do I shed tears? Because I think about my dad and when I was young and how much he's missed in my life and these kind of things. And when we go to those grave sites, when we go to the cemetery, that's often what it is, isn't it? We go expecting to pay respect, to put flowers on a grave, and to think about things. And often it's sadness. I know he's going on to be with Jesus, and that brings me great, great comfort, but I'm also sad because I miss him, and I love him. So when we go, what do we expect when we go to a graveyard? I want us to think about that. That's where these ladies were heading. They was headed for a graveyard. They was headed to find a body, a dead body. And we often go to the graveyard for that reason, to show our respect. Hadn't thought it through, had you? Who's going to roll? Who's going to roll that stone away? Who's going to take care? I'm thinking, you know, I was thinking maybe, and I was thinking, well, maybe they thought those Roman soldiers, but this is me trying to rationalize. What are they thinking? Maybe they thought the Roman soldiers was going to help them do that. And then I thought, well, no, that really happened on Saturday. They might have been keeping up with that. I don't know. It's a Sabbath. That happened on Saturday, and they sealed it. So did they even really know that the soldiers were there? They didn't know they was even going to encounter them. I don't know what they were thinking or how they planned to do it. Were they all three going to get together and try to roll it themselves? I don't know. they didn't have it thought through completely. But I want you to see our next word. They came early. They came expecting, but also they came entering. Look at 5 and 6. It says, "In entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him.'" Well, they came expecting, but they also, when they got to the tomb, the stone was already rolled away. The stone was never rolled away for Jesus to come out, by the way. The stone was rolled away that these ladies could come in. And when they entered, you can see their major concern was, how were they going to access the body? Now remember, they had this plan. They were not expecting to encounter a risen Lord. They were expecting to encounter a dead body and anoint it. But when they get there, the stone is already rolled away, and they enter. Can you imagine thinking, "Oh, what are we going to do here?" And they enter into the tomb, and what do they see? God had a better plan, didn't he? He would give them access, but not to a body, but to an empty tomb. That's why we're here this morning, celebrating that empty tomb. They arrived early. They arrived expecting an empty body, but they entered into an empty tomb and found that the Lord had risen. I want you to see I love what the angel tells them when they look in, and he said, "Do not be alarmed." Anytime you encounter angels or heavenly being, that's always, "Don't be alarmed, don't be afraid." Why? Because, man, it scared the pants out of you if you run into one of them. We always talk about having encounters. Let me tell you what, when you encounter something that's supernatural, something of God, most of the time you find people in the Scripture groveling at their feet before them. And the angel says, "Don't be alarmed." Would that not surprise you if you're going to anoint a dead body, all of a sudden you enter into a tomb and there's this guy dressed in white? And the first thing he says is, "Do not be alarmed." Why did that? Because he had a message for them this morning, just like he has for us. What did that angel say? Look what he said. He said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth." I like that. You seek, and that was correct. They were seeking Jesus of Nazareth, which his name, anybody in Galilee, these were ladies from Galilee, they understood that name. They understood, but that represented his humanity, Jesus of Nazareth, this one that was called Jesus of Nazareth. Yes, you seek him, but guess what they said? "He's not here. He's not here." What does he say next? The three best words that have ever been uttered to mankind. What did it say? Look. "He is risen." He's not here. Those three words ring out through eternity. They penetrate even today and penetrate the heart of men and women, boys and girls, even today. You see, all these religions, plural, around the world, they have different religions, and sometimes we get confused thinking, okay, what? Maybe they're, you know, this is all leading one way. There's not but one resurrected Lord. That's it. And the resurrection is what separates us from all other beliefs. It's not a religion, it's a relationship. Why? Because it's with the risen Savior that got up on that first Easter day. And because he got up, the Scripture says one day we'll get up. And that's the hope that we have, is the resurrected Lord. You see, it's a relationship. Graves marked, if you think about all, they were many recordings in the Scriptures of people that were risen from the dead, weren't they? Where are they at, though? They died again, didn't they? They died. Again, Lazarus come forth, and he came forth, you know, but there came a time when Lazarus didn't come forth. He went and he died again. That's it. But there's only one that got up that didn't die again. His name's the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's what these ladies encountered that morning. They went expecting to find a dead body, to anoint a dead body, but they encountered a risen Lord. He is risen. He is not here. Isn't that just like the Lord? I want to ask you, what did you come expecting to find this morning? What did you come expecting to find? Did you, maybe you came here just to experience sunrise service because That's what we do on Easter morning. Or could it be that maybe God has a different plan for you today? It could be, as we are celebrating and we're thinking about that first Easter morning, it could be that the stone of your heart is rolling away and the risen Savior's wanting to penetrate your heart and say, you know what? Wow. Christ came to this earth as a man. Completely perfect man. That's why he was born of a virgin. That's why it's so important. Why? Because he wasn't tainted by sin. He walked a sinless life on this earth. He died on Calvary. You see this? This was a dead. He died on Calvary. This was a tomb. This was a cemetery. It wasn't that they were looking for the wrong place like everybody likes to say. What did the angel say? This is, you're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. Yeah, this was his tomb, but he's not here anymore. He died on Calvary and they buried him in this tomb. But on the third day, what we're celebrating today is his resurrection. He got up. Why did he do that? So all those that believe upon him and ask him to forgive them of their sins, repent and receive his sacrifice, will have eternal life. Woo! That's what we celebrate here today. That's why we should be excited. Let me tell you something. Man, if I'm watching like the March Madness, whatever your sport is, and your team's doing good, what are you doing? Woo! Yeah! I have got up on my couch. You can ask one of the times that my team won the national championship. I was standing up on the couch hollering, yeah! Listen, your team has won better than the national championship this morning. It's because of the victory of Jesus Christ that we can all have hope, that we have the victory that we can believe as believers, that we can face each day. We don't have to get up through life and wonder what life is about. Life is about a risen Savior, and that's why we're here to celebrate today. Woo! Praise the Lord. Let me tell you, early. They came expecting. They came entering. I want you to see last. They left excited. That's what we should be, the most excited people. I don't mean fake and phony, and I don't mean dredging stuff up. If we can grasp the magnitude, if we can grasp the magnitude of what happened this morning, we can't help but get excited about what Jesus did. And that's what the world is looking for, people that really understand the magnitude of what we stand for. It should, and let me tell you, when we get a hold of that magnitude, it will change us into the people that the Scripture says we're supposed to be. Because look what it says in 7 and 8. I love this, because they're commissioned that morning. Look, they go thinking they're going to anoint a dead body. They encounter this angel. They find out that the risen Lord, the Lord is risen, but they also get a commission here. And what does the angel tell them to do? Look what it says. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you. He says, go tell his disciples. I like that. And he points out Peter. Why would he do that? Poor old Peter, he had denied him, hadn't he? He had denied and turned his back on the Lord. And he, can you imagine what he felt like if you ever let the Lord down and how you feel? And old Peter, can you think, man, I just blew it. I said that I would stand with him to the end, but when it came time and the little girl pointed me out, I cussed and said, I don't even know him. Can you imagine where Peter was at right then? Did that take the Lord by surprise? Knew it? No, he knew exactly what Peter was going to do. And then when he resurrected, he told those ladies, he said, you go tell my disciples and Peter, purposely pointing it out today. It doesn't matter what you've done, by the way. You might have failed and let it. You know what? The Lord says you've got grace, that you can receive grace and forgiveness. If you ask the Lord to forgive you, in fact, the Scripture says in 1 John 1 and 9, he confesses his sin to me. You know, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. So don't let the devil tell you you're worthless, you're no good, and try to beat you up this morning. Through God's grace, you can say, Lord, forgive me. And you can receive that grace and return into that relationship. No matter what, go tell Peter. Got commissioned. Look at 8. They, you know, what they had expected and what they encountered were two different things, wasn't it? They came to find a body and discovered the risen Lord. And then it says, then the angel gives them a commission, go tell his disciples and Peter. And then look what they did in verse 8. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. That's an understatement. They trembled and amazed. Why? Man, they had just encountered the angel, and they had just encountered the idea of the risen Lord. He is risen. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. You know what? I thought, what about that statement? You know, they had, can you see these ladies? And I love that video. You can see them, man. That foot race back to the disciples. Why? Because the Lord, the Lord had given them through the angel a commission to go tell who? The disciples. Oh, the word would go forth. In fact, it's still going forth today. We're all commissioned in this room, those of us that are believers, to do what? To go tell. Go tell what? The Lord is risen. We're still taking that commission out to a lost world, into a world, into these crooks and crannies and valleys and mountains of people that are all here, that people are so searching and hopeless, and they don't have hope, and they get up and they're miserable in the morning. They think, is this life's all about? No, it's not. It's about a risen Savior. It's about serving Him. It's about finding your purpose in life, in His commission, and you going out and serving Him every day. These ladies, they were excited, just like we should be excited this morning. We should be excited. Why? Because we serve a risen Savior. The Lord is risen. That should be our excitement. The resurrection of the Lord allows us a different view of death. No longer. No longer do we have to fear death. It stalks us. Yes. It can get to where we think about it back here, and some people deal and think, well, what death? You know what? It's our greatest enemy. It's our greatest enemy. But Christ took care of it on Calvary. No longer do we have to worry or be afraid about death. No longer is it the end. No longer do we have to face it with dread and despair. Why? Because He took the stinger out of it on Calvary. Where, oh death, is your victory? Where, oh death, is your sting? Why? Oh, we face death one day if we live long enough. Whether it's the Lord's rapture in the twinkling of an eye, or whether we go on some natural way or even accident, whatever, we don't have to fear it. Why? Because Jesus took care of it on Calvary. And if we receive His forgiveness for our sins, then to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and we're ushered right into the face of Christ when we pass from this life. That's hope. That's hope. That is hope. Because He lives, we shall live also. You know, the devil thought he had won on Friday. Can you imagine? He thought he had won. Why? He got rid of the Galilean. He got rid of Jesus of Nazareth. He thought he had won. They buried Him in a tomb, and he thought, man, game over, I've won. But you know what? That was Friday evening. Sunday was coming, wasn't it? Sunday was coming. This is the Sunday morning that we celebrate. The devil didn't win. He drove a nail in his own coffin. It was over. Game over after that. For him, not Christ. The Son of God had a plan from eternity past. He stepped out onto the portals of heaven, came down to this earth, lived a sinless life, and gave it for us this morning. Gave it for us that He would resurrect on that third day. He's gone now to ascend to the Father, sits at the right hand of the Father, and one day we'll all go to see Him if we've received His forgiveness for our sins. If we have not, then this is just falling on deaf ears. My question today is, what was God's purpose for you coming this morning? Was it by accident, coincidence, that you came early? Was it that you came expecting? You came entering into a sanctuary. You came early, but did you come expecting to encounter the risen Lord? Have you entered into a relationship with the risen Lord? Are you excited about what He's done for you and what He can do for others? Think about that. Why did you come? What was the purpose? You came early. Came expecting, but did you come and expecting? Maybe you found something different. Maybe the stone in your heart's been rolled away that the gospel is coming forth. You know, except God draws a man or lady or boy or girl, they do not come to know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. But when the Spirit of God starts tapping on your heart because of His Word and because of the Holy Spirit, you know what? He starts drawing people unto Himself. Could it be that this is your morning on the resurrection morning? I'm going to have a time of invitation. It could be that, God, you just realize, you know what? Linda, go ahead and get on the piano, if you would, please, honey. It could be that I just didn't come excited as I should be. I'm starting to understand, man, look, it doesn't matter what I'm facing in life. I know we have hardships, and we could share many of those hardships here today. But you know what? We serve a risen Savior. He's risen! He's risen! He is risen, that we have the hope of eternity in our hearts, those that have received Jesus Christ. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, what a great day to receive Him. But if you have and you've lost your focus, maybe you feel like, you know what? I've lost my focus. I'm not excited. I'm allowing the world and the cares of the world to tug me away and get my focus off. This could be your morning also, just to renew yourself and say, Lord, from this day on, let me celebrate. Think about the applications of this word. Think of these applications. Purpose to live a victorious life. Always come expecting the Lord to do something great. Tell the world He is risen through your lives. Live out a life that draws people unto Him. And maybe you're struggling in life. Maybe the focus of your life is just off. Whatever it is God wants you to do today, today's your day. I'm going to go down front. The ladies are going to see. We're not going to spend much time. You smell. That's not my cologne. They're fixing breakfast. Make sure and thank these guys. They've been over there early this morning fixing breakfast for everybody. That we can go and we can fellowship and we can celebrate. But you know what? For a few moments, the focus is the here and the now. And just thinking about what the Lord is doing. I know that Brother Wayne, we've been over Wayne to pray for Brother Wayne Starnes. He had a rough time, but I think he's doing better. So, you know, if you have something you need prayer focus. I know that Layla fell and broke her leg, but she's doing okay. And so these things, you know, if we have these things weighing on our heart, maybe that just for a little bit, we need to focus and say, you know what, this is about the resurrection, Lord, and I've lost my focus. Whatever it is that you want to do, just do it for a few moments. We're going to have to stand to your feet. We're going to have time of invitation. Paid it all. This is your verse. You've never received the Lord. Would love to walk you through the scripture and show you how you can have a personal relationship with Him. If you have something to pray about, come forward. Just pray. Give it to the Lord this morning. Sing it now. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Listen, guys, hang around and eat some breakfast. We're going to have cantata at 9:30 also, so I love you. Any way that I can help you, please, if you'd like to talk to me more after the service, there's nothing I'd like to do more than to talk to you about the things of the Lord. If you have questions, come to me. I love each and every one of you. Let's celebrate today. Amen. He's risen. That's exactly right. So I'm going to ask James if you'll end us in prayer, and Sandy and I will go back to the back and we'll greet him.